Oh, did I time that right?
You're dead on.
Spot on.
You want to stay up?
Sure. Okay. Sounds good.
All right, good morning, everybody. I'll call for the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, September 4th, 2018, and ask everybody to please join the board as we honor her with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you again and good morning on this Labor Day week. First item on our agenda, as always, is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda or really anything you'd like to comment on. Anybody wishing to do so, come right on up. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to consideration of proclamation for September as National Recovery Month, brought to us by YSS. Maggie, you want to come on up and I'll read the proclamation and then you introduce yourself and make whatever comments we got. So, whereas behavioral health is an essential part of health and one's overall wellness, and whereas prevention of mental and substance use disorders works, treatment is effective and people recover in our area and around the nation, and whereas preventing and overcoming mental and substance use disorders is essential to achieving healthy lifestyles both physically and emotionally, and whereas we must encourage relatives and friends of people with mental and substance use disorders to implement preventive measures, recognize the signs of a problem, and guide those in need to appropriate treatment and recovery support services, and whereas the most recent national survey on drug use and health report, an estimated 21.7 million people age 12 or older are affected by these conditions, and whereas to help more people achieve and sustain long-term recovery, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, YSS, Community and Family Resources, and Story County, Iowa, invite all residents to participate in National Recovery Month. Now, therefore, Story County, Iowa, hereby proclaims the month of September 2018 as National Recovery Month. Join the Voices for Recovery. Invest in health, home, purpose, and community. Matt.
Well, I'd like to also introduce our representative from Community and Family Resources, and she'll make a few comments as well.
Hi, my name is Carrie Williams, and I'm the Clinical Mental Health Director at Community and Family Resources. On behalf of CFR and YSS, I would like to thank the Board of Supervisors for your recognition of September's Recovery Month. We appreciate your ongoing support of the recovery message that people can and do recover from mental health, substance abuse, and gambling disorders. We know that so many in our community are affected by these disorders, and this proclamation shows your support to each and everyone in our community. CFR will be hosting our 6th Annual Recovery and Wellness 5K Run Walk on September 15th at Ada Hayden Park in Ames, and everyone's welcome to attend and participate by either signing up for running or walking, by volunteering, or simply just by showing your support. We also will have healthy snacks and a variety of wellness-oriented activities. On September 13th, the Opioid Task Force will be holding an event called Community Conversations. The presentation is part one, the opioid epidemic and preventative actions. This will be held at Mary Greeley at the Bessie Meyer Auditorium at 7 p.m. We are also partnering with Story County Mental Health Expo on September 25th for an evening of healing, starting at 6 p.m. at Memorial Union in the Great Hall.
And we'd like to invite, if anyone is around in Ames at noon today, Little Caesars is partnering with us to offer free pizza to anyone who wants to come by our Family Life Center, which is right next to Panera Bread, in celebration of Recovery Month. Thank you so much.
Outstanding. Board, questions, comments, or a motion?
Thank you for what you and your organizations do, because it's difficult. Sometimes the rewards are down the road a bit. So thank you.
I move consideration of the proclamation for making September as a National Recovery Month.
I second.
Motion and second. Further discussion? Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. September is National Recovery Month here in Story County. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is consideration of minutes, and this is for the August 21st canvas.
website.
Absolutely. We all love photos. Love photos.
Yeah,
and
I
comb
my hair and everything.
Where are we going?
We're going to go right up to the chip. Yep.
I'm going to stay next to the tall guy. Awfully short here.
I'm going to move this a little to the.
Yeah, so we get the feel.
Danny is coming and a professional photographer.
Can you tell if I'm on my tiptoes?
Here, I'll get stretched out.
All right, everyone. One, two, three. Hang on, I have another one. One, two, three. Awesome. Thank you.
Leanne.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. After the wonderful photo op, now we'll do minutes from the August 21st canvas.
Move us to minutes.
Second.
Motion in the second. Olson.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel action. Just one thing of note. Within these personnel actions is also a correction from last week. We had the incorrect date for Alexa Moon. So, personnel actions.
As presented.
Second.
Motion second. Cheney.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims for September 6th.
Move as presented.
Second.
Olson.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda board.
As listed.
Second.
Cheney.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. No public hearing items today. Additional items is discussion and consideration of a draft request for proposal for the Story County Justice Center re-roofing project. Joby. And the rest of the meeting, we're just declaring the Joby show.
Yeah, I see that.
Good morning, Joby.
We had to have something to talk about today. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Brought with me Ken, who's the manufacturer's rep. I'm not even going to try his last name because I'm not going to get it right.
Hi, Ken. How about introducing yourself for us?
My name is Ken Bargery, and it looks, I came up with a little saying so people can remember the name. It looks just like going to the bar to get your brother a beer. It's an old accuracy. I appreciate the opportunity to come before the Board of Supervisors of Story County and work with you on the re-roofing of the Justice County.
Ken, you're a manufacturer's rep?
Yes.
Okay, for?
It's a company called Tika Sarnafil. It's an old line company, been in the business 50-some years. Started out, whatever the Swiss chemist came up with, in the late 1950s, the Swiss government was having a challenge when they were trying to improve their infrastructure. They would bore these tunnels and they would cave in. And the Swiss chemists came up with this reinforced PVC sheet. They would line the tunnels and it could resist the hydrostatic pressure. And also it's a very intense environment when you're buried underground. All kinds of little microbes crawling around trying to destroy whatever's in there.
Hey. All right, Jody. So we battled this roof over at the Justice Center and battled it, and it was a losing battle. Went to our insurance company. The insurance company said, yeah, it looks like a reasonable claim here. So they came forward. Now take us the rest of the way how we got to this potential RFP.
Yep, they deemed it total loss. Membrane is... it's not repairable at this point, so a new roof is required.
And this building is 16 years old.
The roof's actually, been open for business 16 years. Best we can tell, around 99-2000, the actual roof membrane was laid on there. So close to 20 years old on the actual roof itself.
Yep.
So.
And we do have, it's okay to jump in here, we do have many applications that are decades old, 25, 30, 35 years. In Europe, there are several projects are 50 years and older, so it's a proven product. And we've learned a lot through the years. It used to be a belief that we wanted to give the membrane a nice, soft landing, let the hailstones kind of have their way with it. We learned that was totally wrong. we learned the harder the substrate, the more substantial, that would absorb the impact and minimize the damage. And what we've learned down through the years on single fly roofs, they will continue to deteriorate from the hail, from the underside. It's a starring action. And it must have taken pretty sizable hail, because I've been up on roofs that have pounded pretty good and they've survived.
So we have a free-flowing roof now that is the softer one. Is that what?
Yes.
Well,
I can,
okay.
It can approach and...
Sure.
Yeah, basically got some samples of what we have, what we could do.
This is a 20 PSI, and this is 5 times harder.
So this is what's on there now?
Yes, that's the insulation.
That's the floating, and so talking about going to a more substantial.
Yes.
Okay. And I've seen some pictures of the roof, what we have now, but I've not thought about what the actual composition is. But we do not have shingles. Instead, we have this on it, correct?
Yeah, and then with a membrane laid over top of that cover board. I think Ken's got...
What we're looking at, this is approximate thickness that is up there. That was state-of-the-art, 45, 48 mils at that time. Basically, the industry has gone to 60 mils thick. It adds a few pennies, but the impact resistance is just an old marketing sheet. That's what we're used to. That's how thick we can make it, but that's quick overkill and very, very expensive. And this would be the base product, and you can feel it's just the weight difference. Heavy.
So this one was 40.
The first sample round was at a 45, 48.
And what is this one?
This is 60. And it's a true 60.
And you said this last one is the harder, is a bit harder. Is that what you're saying?
The insulation itself, the recovery is
harder.
And then the membrane will be a thicker application. And one of the things we've improved down through the years is with the fastening pattern of it. We didn't have this technology in the late 1990s. We would have fastened through the seam, overlap it, and it created a tremendous amount of fasteners and plates. Tremendous amount. And the hailstone seemed to zero in on it and cause an issue. With this system, we'll cut that by a third of the fasteners and plates and minimize the exposure. And it gives you a much higher wind uplift and a very, very stable application. We're also able to use a much wider sheet, which will speed up the application process and controls the cost.
Okay.
So are you talking about maybe there would only be 4 or 5 sheets then across the roof, say, long and wide?
They're 10 foot by 100. And by the time it's heat welded together, it's monolithic. And if you were strong enough, you could shake it like a sheet in the wind,
okay.
But it becomes durable. And this is proven technology. Iowa State has a number of these roofs on it. University of Iowa, Iowa National Guard, and Johnston has also used this application. It was also used on the new federal courthouse in Cedar Rapids.
Good. All right, so go ahead.
We as a board have talked about at some point, or a future board, that possibly solar paneling, just on a push off of our electrical draw. I mean, what is this roof? I mean, is this something that is could solar panels be placed on a roof, and would that negatively impact this roof?
Well, that's a great question, and it's something that we're doing a tremendous amount of. We are very, very solar friendly. Matter of fact, we have a whole division that does solar roofs. It's just become such a growing demand. We do so many projects for large retailers, large malls, Nestle, Anheuser-Busch, Kraft Foods, and they're all looking for to control the same situation. We do take precautions. We would like a higher density board because we know it's going to be a lot of foot traffic. We've also come up with a way of attaching. What's been a real issue is attaching the solar panels to the roof. And we've come up with a way called Solar Click, and we're able to attach the base plate, which supports the solar panels. Okay. And we can work with our engineering group, work with you locally, and come up with a total turnkey system. And you can do this within 5 years of the installation.
Why just 5 years? What's that window for?
We're just very, very concerned. We know the roofs are going to last 20, 25, 30 years or longer, and we know the solar panels are going to last about that length. We just want to make sure that the roof does not have to be replaced before the solar panels.
Okay.
So it's a very conservative approach.
Okay. And so for
you don't have to stand.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So full awareness, this is something that Joby took a look at as we started talking about the roof, and just came to the determination pretty quickly that it wasn't practical to try to do both projects at
incorporated
the same time.
Now. Yeah. Basically, given the condition of the roof is in now, I think we need to move forward with getting it replaced, mm-hmm. and then look at the solar panels down the road instead of trying to incorporate it now.
Yeah, that's going to be a little longer conversation.
Yep.
Okay, so you were telling us about how we got to the RFP.
Yes, basically, you'll see in there we're looking at it base bid-wise, which is just a direct replacement. And then Ken can kind of pop in here, but basically we're looking at 45 to 48 mil is what we got up there now, which is not a standard membrane. My understanding of it is it's available, but you don't manufacture it. It would be a special order item. So upgrading wouldn't really, could potentially not be much of a cost increase because of the lack of use of the original membrane that's up there. So we have one way that's just priced out is directly replace it with exactly what's up there.
Right.
The next step is just upgrading the membrane, period. And then the third option is to address some of the current issues that the roof has. And I've got some photos to go along with this. Which basically, this is the main roof over the Sheriff's Department and jail support. You can see there's roof drains up there, but the elevation of the drain intake itself is slightly higher than it should be. So we get what they refer to as water ponding. It's basically not the only way to get all the water to drain off the roof is to squeegee it down the floor drain, down the roof drain. So one of the options is to address the sloping, basically put a little extra foam across everything and bring that elevation of the roof up to address the draining issues. There's a really good example. That's probably a 20 to 30 foot radius of standing water times about 10 up on that roof. So you're basically holding water weight the whole time. So periodically, my staff has to get up there and squeegee that down to get it off the roof. And then on the jail roof itself, which is a little bit higher roof, we've got the opposite problem. The roof drains are virtually too low. So you can see, and that's about a 48-inch radius circle with an extreme dive into the roof drain. That one's the worst one, and then some of them aren't as bad. So I'd like to take those issues into consideration. And then final thing is there's an existing roof hatch in the clerk of courts area, and that's that guy there. It's in that high ceiling roller file room in the clerk of courts, and it's in a closet that you cannot even get a ladder to that roof hatch. So it's there for no reason at all. So we're going to have the roof tore off. I recommend just eliminating it because there's another roof hatch on the main courts building that you can access for emergency purposes. But this is just a penetration in the roof that has no use whatsoever. And it's slammed up against one of the parapet walls on the roof. So flashing around it, then you get the potential for leaks, which we do around that thing almost every time it rains.
Sorry if you said it, but why do you think that was put in there? Yeah.
I think originally, best guess, Marty, is they laid out the roof accesses prior to designing the interior space, and it just got overlooked. and then they build a closet underneath of it, and it's basically two stories high in the closet, and the closet's like 5 foot square.
Joby, who designed this building? You know off the top of your head?
Schiffer was our architect in it, but the firm I'd have to look back on.
Our previous county attorney, his name's Stephen Holmes, it is Stephen Holmes, he was our previous county attorney. The whole design of this building was one of his pet peeves. I know the first time I met with Stephen, he wanted to talk about what the shortcomings were here. I think we're seeing evidence of it, and we need to get as much of it fixed as possible. So, my question for you, Joby, is in this RFP, I would assume we're requesting base bids, as I read through this, what I understood is we're requesting base bids, which is just directly replacing what we have.
Yep.
But then we're also giving an option for upgrades
yep.
to take care of some of these other issues.
Yep, yep. One is just, base bid is direct membrane replacement with what's up there, and
insurance will fund a portion
yep.
of the direct replacement,
yes.
but we would be responsible for everything
above and beyond their specified, what they come up with is their dollar amount that they would pay up to.
Okay.
Yeah, and then first alternate is just a membrane upgrade, and then the second alternative would be membrane upgrade, addressing sloping issues, eliminating this hatch, and then replacing all the perimeter steel. Because what we'll most likely run into is they'll have to pull it off to replace the membrane. Getting it off in areas might come up good, in other areas they might destroy it. Well, 20 years worth of fading, the replacement will definitely look different from the existing. So,
is that visible to the public?
Yeah. Yeah, on basically two-thirds of the building you can see from the street. So,
and replacement of the membrane includes the subroofing or does not include? So we talked about we got this floating, softer system. Now.
Yep. The base bid is just addressing if there's issues with it, like when they get the membrane off and then they see that there's some damaged foam, then that would be replaced, and there's a section in there for them to price that out per incident. But then the upgrade, when we look at addressing all the issues, that's putting basically that denser layer over everything, and then any additional insulation that would be required to re-slope the areas that have drain issues.
So, Joby, we looked at the product of Mr. Barbary's company, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But would we not need to price out or do a separate RFP, I guess I want to announce that at our attorney, for that particular material? I mean, or are we doing this all? I mean, it's a big buy in itself just to do the membrane. Do we have the option of dictating that we want a particular company's membrane at this point?
When they answer the RFP, they'll address that. That's what we're doing.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. That's what you're.
Yeah, we're not locking in the use of no. anything. But we're waiting to see what we get back on the RFP. So we're just learning what's on the roof now and what industry standards are that we might.
All right.
Direct.
Right. Exactly. You're just going to list the industry standards.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So the drainage as it exists, we are just now going to reshape the roof as the permit should have been, and we have to do it now so that.
Maybe.
That's one option.
Well, I know, but I'm speaking for how I feel about this, is that we can take care of the pond. It's holding water on a roof. It doesn't do anything any good. That just sets you up for a future fail.
Exactly.
But all we're doing today is we're talking about the RFP that goes out that's going to bring us back these options, hopefully from multiple entities
yep.
that will give us the information yep. we need to be able to make an informed decision on who we award it to. And I noticed some language in here that allows us to consider reputation of the company and things like that as we make our overall decision. So this is not going to be absolutely lowest bid wins.
Yep.
Lowest responsible.
Yeah. Yep.
Other questions? Again, on the RFP, as we go, so you've got a September 21st deadline.
That's one of the things. It's 28th. The date was wrong on it. Leanne caught that this morning, so I think she's
so September 28th would be the deadline to submit proposals.
Yes.
There's a mandatory meeting of anybody interested in submitting proposals. What other details do we need to know so that it'll come back to us at some point in October?
Yes.
To do the bid opening. Then I would assume we won't have a lot of discussion on the day we do the bid opening. We'll come back next week or so, have more discussion, take a recommendation, try to get to make a decision. What is the calendar doing to us? Is this the kind of thing that we've got to get done prior to hard winter? How does that all that work?
I'll let Ken take. Him and I discussed this because that was one of the concerns I had. Is it something that we need to do ASAP?
Yeah.
And then he'll weigh in on more details. But it basically come down to that, given this new the fastening method, that we don't. Cold weather is not a huge concern, and then if we put too tight of a window on it, then that might drive the cost up. So.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Can I ask you a little bit more about the example of your product? Is that a fastening method proprietary?
No. We help create it and approach one of our associates or components that supply a lot of our fasteners and just multiple parts of the bits and pieces that go into installation of a large project like this. And we work together with them to come up with not only the system, but the right equipment to install it. And we worked with them to train all the applicators and how to properly install it and use it. And so there were some interesting hurdles. We do a lot of work for the FAA. This is an induction weld microwave, and we were interrupting radio traffic with planes coming in. So that was one of the learning curves we had to go through. And I know the ponding water is an issue, and unfortunately it does happen a lot in new construction. Just full disclosure, the roof drains, they send in the taper plans, they draw it out, material gets shipped, and the roof drains for one reason or they move a foot or two, and it has a huge impact on which water.
Sure.
That's all. Also, I checked with our warranty service department. There was no activity, no leaks reported until the hail had hit. So, I mean, it was a very effective application for a long time. And I'm very confident. I know the other project at the building here that was done in 2011 has performed very well. Also, keep in mind, for if you're seriously considering the solar, then this application with a high density isoboard would be one of the requirements.
Thank you.
Yep. Good. All right. What else do we need to know before we move ahead with approving the RFP?
And the most important part of this, you can produce a great product, but we also work with contractors that have been established, they're local, and they do a great job.
And that's where our bids will come from, is from the contractors.
Yep, he's just a representative to the manufacturer.
Absolutely.
That's it.
So just for my edification, Joby or Ken, whoever wants to speak to this, what we have now is not what you suggest. We replace it back with in terms of the free-floating membrane.
Yes.
I guess you've had none.
Okay. All right. If there's no further questions, I take a motion to approve the draft request for proposal with the note that instead of September 21st, it's September 28th for the deadline.
I move consideration of the draft proposal for the RFP for Story County Justice Center re-roofing project due on September 28th. How does that work?
I second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion. Joby, anything else we need to think about just for this RFP?
I think we covered everything.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chief.
Aye.
Olson. Sanders, aye. Request for proposal is ready to go out. No agency reports today. Departmental reports, coincidentally. Facilities manager.
Happens to be me. All right, let's get started. Quarterly report. We'll start with the work order system. You'll see that the numbers have probably greatly increased since the last quarter because we bought online our new work order system. So we now track, before we just tracked requests that different departments sent via email. It didn't include any of the just day-to-day things like when we repair equipment and that kind of stuff. So now these reflect pretty much everything that my department does on a daily basis, from, you know, when they do special floor care projects to fixing our skid loader. There's a work order attached to that. So we'll start with this building here. We had 141 regular work orders completed and 10 on-call after-hours work orders. Group homes, 54 regular work orders, and 6 of those were on-call situations. Conservation, 25 standard work orders and no call-ins. HSC had 111 standard work orders and 7 on-call work orders. Jail had 102 work orders and 4 on-call work orders. The rest of the Justice Center complex had 172 work orders and also 4 on-call work orders. Animal Control, we had 14 regular work orders, no on-calls. Engineers Building, 11 work orders and 2 on-call work orders, with a total of 630 standard work orders and 33 on-call work orders. And then some of the stuff we've done this quarter that blew with a little more detail is we had safety training with secondary roads. We've been lots of meetings with the insurance adjuster for the roof at the Justice Center. Generator at HSC building is online and fully functioning, so that's a good
thing. That was a long time coming. Wasn't
it? Yes, it was.
What is your test day on that one? It's Tuesday or this
Yep,
one?
Tuesday as well on that
Tuesday's
one.
Tuesday's test day.
Basically the same timeline as this one. So okay. It runs for half an hour on Tuesday mornings. At the dispatch console project that I gave some input and assistance on, and I have to say that I think it's completely wrapped up at this point. Construction began on the Hazel Group Home Crisis Center Stabilization Project.
So that maybe we're going to get the doors. So this project has been delayed.
Yep.
But now maybe it looks like we're nearing the end. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yep. Things have been happening. They've got a lot of stuff done. The doors that have put it off is actually should be here in about 2 weeks. So the doors will be here. The thing that's hold it up the most is the anti-ligature hinges for the doors, but we're still looking at ready for move-in October 10th to 11th.
So. And I understand we had to get the county attorney involved in this, and as usual when the county attorney gets involved, things start happening positive.
Yep, magically our point got across. So Ethan did a wonderful job telling thank you for me. Yep. So yeah, they've had people there for every day for about 2 weeks now. So they're making progress. It's coming along. We've had some warranty issues with the carpet at the Human Services Center, and
these are the squares, right?
Yep.
So we went to the squares 6 or 8 years ago.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And so one of the rationalizations behind going to that was then when we had an issue, we wouldn't have to tear out the whole thing.
Yeah, we could just replace what needed to be replaced. And, you know, we started when we did the remodel of the basement floor HSC and moved community services down there. That was the first place that got them, and no issues with them. And then somewhere in there, the manufacturer changed the backing on the carpet. And then come to the realization that wasn't a very good idea. So they've had to warranty a bunch. So at this point, all of the Ames County Attorney's Office has been replaced. The large hallway on second floor was done a week and a half ago. And now the next one is the entire DHS department, which will happen towards the end of November. So all of, no cost to the taxpayer. It's 100% warranty covered. And I think the oldest, was right at the 6-year mark, and that of the stuff that needed to be replaced. So then, Animal Control construction has begun. That's moving along nicely. It started just about 2 weeks ago, yesterday.
And what's our expected timeline here?
About 14 to 16 weeks. Okay. From so another 12 to 14 weeks to go, and it's
and
moving.
And so they're adding complexity here in that we've got to shift sewer
yep.
around as we're working.
Yeah, right now they're concentrating on the far east end of the building, which was just used for storage. So, and that's where the new cat area is going to go, and some storage, and then Sue's office, and then a conference room. So once they get that completed, then we can start moving things into there, and then just kind of move east to west, and then be some shuffling around, but that's the only way to accomplish it. So, we had the IT heat pump that services the server room went down. We got that going. We were able to, my staff was able to come up with a temporary fix until replacement parts showed up. So it was only down to about 30 hours total. We have portable units that kept cool in there. So that's back up and running and looking good. So
and this heat pump, we actually could buy parts for. We didn't have to fabricate the parts.
Yeah, manufacturers still, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. I like it.
We had to manufacture some off-the-shelf parts to get it going in a temporary fashion, but we can still get factory parts for it. And then with, I'm just going to skip a little bit here since we're on IT heat pumps. We're replacing the other heat pump that services the office areas in IT. That was a budgeted item. It's the one that sits above the ceiling, and we're going to pull that down out of the ceiling and put it in the mechanical room. Well, that mechanical room has been built. The housekeeping pad for the unit to sit on is ready to go. So as soon as we get a nice, probably here in the next few weeks, the weather to change and stay a little bit mild, we'll get that sucker replaced. And
I saw him paint down there last week. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, the room's all ready. I'm just waiting. The door's got about 3 weeks out for the actual door for the room, but it's ready to go. And then this quarter, we also received our new truck. So we got...
That replaces the Chevy with the liftgate? Is that the
nope. The one? Chevy, not the Chevy with the... But it replaced the Chevy, but it was the one that we... The original truck we started hauling our own snow with. So it replaced that guy.
All right.
So, yep. And then we assisted the auditor's office with election supply, delivery, and pickup. Replaced southeast front door closure at this building. That doesn't sound like much until you really look at them. They're all internally mounted. So you got to, next time you walk through front doors, just look around and you'll see that the actual door closures are buried in the door frame. So it, on the surface, it doesn't sound like much, but you got to take about half the door frame apart to get to it. So that's why we threw it on there. And then got our equipment, 4-H grounds. That's working out real well. We had to pull it all out for the county fair and then got it all back in there. So that's working out real nice.
And we upgraded a couple of the doors down there, or upgraded the security on a couple of the doors down there. Did I understand that? You know that? I think I heard that from Joe Quaker that we...
Joe's got a little
more substantial. Okay.
Joe must have done that on his task.
Yeah, I didn't.
Didn't share it with me, so.
Yep.
But yeah, that is working out really, really well for us. It's nice and large down there so that we got everything lined up. You don't have to move nothing to get anything out.
But it just looks better out here.
Yeah. We don't have a whole bunch of stuff sitting around the park.
Seeing what we're setting out front. Now I get it away. I mean, this is a beautifully built building that's been maintained. It looks aesthetically better.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're saving the wear and tear on the equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Getting it in.
Yeah. Okay.
Saw some of the conservation windows. They're looking good.
Yep.
How long before that's done?
Shouldn't be a couple, three more weeks, I'm hoping, Marty. I haven't got 100% confirmation on when they will get the windows back. There's a little issue with the office windows. They showed up and the wrong half of the window actually opened. Bottom half is supposed to crank out the awning. Well, they showed up and the top half did. So I sent them back to the manufacturer to have them... Basically, they just got to pull the window apart and move the mechanism down to the next pane. They could have, the installer could have done it in the field, but I felt I'd rather the manufacturer did it. That way they had nothing to come back on and to deny any kind of warranty claim on it. So, but all the large ones are complete at this time, and they turned out real nice.
Good.
you know, the finish on the
scene. I bet it makes a difference in that building.
When we pulled out, when they were pulling out the old windows, they had found that the original installers did not insulate around the windows, so all of them had a, you know, half to three-quarter inch gap around the window that was just airspace directly outside. The only thing keeping the wind out was the siding on the outside of the building. So, so it should, we should notice a difference in utilities with the new windows for sure.
Is there any, that's an Alliant, we get Alliant out there, don't they have a rebate plan on e-windows? Anybody know about that? Just having done it both in my home and here up at school, that line, if you do any kind of energy savings, if they got a program, maybe there's nothing up now right now, but that would be just one. I'd be curious to think that line cuts checks. If you do, if you purchase, you know, for the Energy Star appliances and whatnot, maybe we have some money out there. I would just want to know if, in fact, hey, is there a rebate if Alliant is the electrical provider?
Okay. Definitely look into it.
We're checking into it, absolutely.
For sure.
Okay.
All right. Brings us to the Wellfield Vault out at the Human Services Center. Those have been pumped out, and the valves have all been inspected. Everything looks good.
Good.
We also got received a new lawn tractor for the Justice Center this quarter, so that's
and
nice.
Hello. We needed that new good weather for rain. Yeah. Mowing a lot more than normal.
Yeah, it's been, we put it to work. And then we've added some keyless entry on the squad room out at the Justice
Center. Yeah, I was always amazed that we didn't have some keyless entry on that door.
Yeah, and we're not, it's not going to be one that you can fob into, but it's, they have all, you know, like Citizens Academy, a lot of after-hours programs. So we added a, we can schedule the door to be open, and then we put a key override that they can key the door open. They got to check out a key, and then it'll only allow it to, it'll automatically relock after 2 hours. So that it, that way we can get around, you know, that way we don't have to rely on somebody actually remembering to, that way if they forget, it'll automatically lock after 2 hours.
Good. Questions for Joby?
Awesome.
Joby, you're doing a great job, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate all the good stories there.
Outstanding.
All right.
No other reports, so we're to public forum number two. If anybody thought of any comments they might have for the Board of Supervisors since we started this meeting, now is your chance to come on up and make those comments. And seeing no one moving the microphone, liaison assignments, Morris.
I leave this afternoon down to Des Moines for the first of many meetings over the next 3 days related to the Iowa Finance Authority's annual statewide housing conference, where I'm going to try and learn everything I didn't learn last year about finance, how to finance, also about find out what kind of options and programs may be coming in the future.
Outstanding. Well, have a good rest of the week then.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Anything else?
Nothing.
Marty.
Pass. Other than
this meeting's dragging on.
I had a wonderful time out of Cowser's, sundry other stuff. We'll be meeting with. Yeah, I know we all enjoyed it. I mean, it was the weather cooperated, which is surprising this past several weeks. We'll be meeting today with Tracy Warren and her department, Kent Brody and Tyler Conley in Ames, and talking about Rand Five versus City of Ames and drainage. Water drainage and whatnot.
And I've got one other thing to throw out there.
Okay, any stay dry, postponed from tonight to next week, just with more impending weather. If there's nothing else, I would take a motion to adjourn.
Actually, I did want to thank Bill Cowser for this. Was doing the Progress Farm Show. The Cowsers are very involved at looking at the future of agriculture and sustainability and profitable sustainability. They don't seem to be mixed, but he set up an example feature. I think we should note there were six different exhibits out there from everything from restoring natural lands, which Stewart County Conservation and Pheasants Forever participated in, to different types of corn yield and production. And anyway, it was just a first-class operation out there. I learned so much, and I want to thank him for the opportunity to
Bill and his whole family and Tim, the son, is now kind of taking over the operation, but they are so focused on the future of that and what that looks like.
It was nice. And I don't think we would want to finish this conversation without saying thank you to Mayor Kayla and three of the city council members for coming too, because the thing is, this is right next to their community.
Well, and the night before that, they had a similar event down at Monsanto, and I know that Mayor Barker from here in Nevada went to that one the night before. But the other one that I think we got to call out is Joe Quaker. We were poking fun at Joe earlier, but Joe Quaker and our entire conservation staff, that any time a private landowner has a project like this, they try to find a way to assist them. At the landowner's cost, but they try to find a way to assist them, and I think they did a phenomenal job assisting the Cowsers with this project.
Have you guys discussed this? That you were, you know, has this been a topic of discussion at conservation meetings?
Well, a topic of conversation in that we're always aware of what's going on, but this is really Mike Cox deal to run. You know, he's our director of conservation, and the conservation board does a great job not micromanaging. They recognize how good Mike really is, how thorough he is with his staff. And so, Marty, I know you happened to be out there one day and had the conversation with Cowser and Quaker, but then Joe, you know, runs it through conservation. Mike Cox makes the call, and
I had gone home for lunch one day, and he said as he was coming back from his office, he said, stop by here. I goes around one more time.
I learned a lot about our internal operations, too, through this process. So sure. Good. All
that's
around.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We'll adjourn.